Praise the Lord, everybody. Isn't it good to be back in God's house? All right. Me and those 10 are going to preach a little bit tonight. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right into this. While you're turning to the book of Mark, chapter number 10, I would like to say what an honor it is. It is always an honor, to come to this church and preach to this group of people. And I give honor to your pastor and to his wife and family. And they are away doing the work of the Lord this week. And you need to keep them in your prayer. If you know how to travail in the Holy Ghost, and if there has ever been a better time, I don't know about it, where it would affect you directly and affect the direction of this church, you need to keep your pastor in prayer this week. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And we will also read from Matthew chapter 6, but I'll give you time when we get there. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46 says this: "And they came to Jericho," this is Jesus and his disciples, "and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, Matthew 6 and 9 says this: "After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And that will work. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't have an effective title tonight. I might shoot about 5 things. So if I give you one title, you'll say, "You know what? He doesn't stick with that title." So rather than give you a little mental distress to deal with while I'm preaching, we just won't title it. We'll just preach. All right? But I'm going to preach to you tonight about who you are in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God is going to speak to you tonight. Hallelujah. You shouted, God is going to speak to you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's lay our Bibles down. Let's lift our hands one more time and ask God to bless us. Ask God to bless His Word. Let it find its mark in your heart tonight in the name of Jesus. God, I love you. God, I thank you for your Spirit. You've been so good to me and I can't praise you enough. I love you, Jesus. God, let your Word go forth tonight. Let it land where it needs to land in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hikatayarabashataya. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord bless you. You may be seated. God is doing incredible, powerful, wonderful, awesome, exciting. Any superfluous adjective that you want to put to that, you can put to it. And it doesn't even come close to describing how God is so awesome to you and to me. We just had a man comes to our church. Some of you probably would know him if I called him by name. We've been praying for him. We've been going and laying hands on him. He just went back to the doctor for some test. They took the test, and the test came back, and the doctor looked at him and said, there was cancer there, but there's no cancer there anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shout about that. But I believe the closer we get to the coming of God, the more commonplace that's going to be in our midst. The more frequent it needs to be in our midst. Hallelujah. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. That means I haven't been able to look at it and measure it with my eye. I haven't been able to listen to it and sound it out. And it hasn't entered into my heart. My imagination hasn't been able to plumb the depth or reach to the outer limits of it. And God's power and God's, the things that he's prepared for me, goes beyond my imagination. It goes beyond things I've seen, and it goes beyond things I've heard. There is no limit to what God has in store for those who love him. Hallelujah. I love to preach about this. Brother Wilson used to pop this one on us every now and then. The book of Genesis says that Isaac sowed a crop, and in 1 year, in one harvest, reaped 100-fold. Isaac sowed a crop, and in one harvest, reaped 100-fold. You can talk to any investor in the world today, and they'll tell you that if you invest your money and you double it with that investment, that you did very, very well. Any investor in this world would tell you that if you invested your money and you tripled it with that investment, you did incredibly well. Any investor would tell you that if you quadrupled your money with that investment, you've had mind-blowing success. But Isaac planted a crop, and in one harvest, he did better than double. He did better than triple. He did better than quadruple. In one harvest, Isaac reaped 100-fold. Now I'm going to tell you what God's going to do to this church. He's been doing it all along, and I'm glad to be a part of it just a little bit. I'm glad your pastor lets me come and preach. But God is going to stretch you to places that you can't shout your way into. But only his Spirit can grab you, pick you up, and set you in that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaac sowed a crop, and in 1 year did better than double, did better than triple, did better than 10 times. In one harvest, reap 100-fold. And Peter said to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Hallelujah. I believe it's time for the Pentecostals in Birmingham, Alabama to sow. Am I preaching to anybody in the house tonight? God wants to give you mind-blowing revival. God wants to give you mind-blowing results. Hallelujah. That means you can't. It's impossible. Jesus Christ said it won't happen. That if you forsake everything that this life has to follow me and to preach the gospel, it's impossible for you not to reap 100-fold. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands and love the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to notice this. He said, in this time.
he shall reap 100-fold. In this time, not in the time to come, not in heaven, but in this time. In this time. I believe. Well, let me just tell you what I said to my church Sunday, a week ago. I believe there's going to be a day in the history of my church where we're going to take up a $1 million offering. And it's not going to be a big deal when we do it. And I'm not worried about money. But the fact of the matter is, Scripture says that we're supposed to be the head and not the tail. And the fact of the matter is, Scripture said that we're supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. And the fact of the matter is, Scripture said that we are supposed to be the ones that have the authority in this earth. And the fact of the matter is, the church is the most dominant force on the earth today. The fact of the matter is, I've got the power. This earth doesn't have the power. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Hallelujah. I believe that there's going to be a day in the history of this church, this very church, where you're going to pray 100 people through plus. In one service. And it's not going to be a big deal when it happens. It's not going to be a big push. It's not going to be one of those things where you're doing door knocking every week leading up to this revival. You're just going to say, if you need the Holy Ghost, come to the altar. And they're going to pray through. And there's going to be 100 plus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! You can look at me act like I'm crazy if you want to. I just choose to believe this. Woo! My God, my God, my God. I'm telling you, in one harvest, it's going to happen in one harvest. It's going to happen in one harvest. It's going to happen in one harvest. It's going to happen in one day. It's going to happen in one day. It's going to happen in one service. Hallelujah. Some of you got financial problems. I'm telling you, in one service, in one day, if you learn to live in the power of the Holy Ghost, in one day, in one service, in one harvest, God's going to turn it around. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Y'all don't mind if I get a drink of water, do you? I believe there's supposed to be a youth group in this church. 300, 400, and 500 strong. I'm not saying that to hype you up. I'm not saying that you'll run the aisles. You'll shout. I know that. I'm not trying to get you to do that. I believe that with every fiber of my being. And I'm not talking about flaky, looking to the outside young people. I'm talking about young people that are on fire. I'm talking about young people that have a burden to do the will of God. Woo! I believe it. I believe it. For all of this to happen, we have to have a revelation of who we are. We have to have a revelation of who we are. I love coming to this church. You can be seated for just a minute. Get back up when I get excited again. I love coming to certain places to preach. I've been privileged to preach in quite a few places all over. I'm not old. I've just been privileged. And there are some places you'd rather put thumbtacks right in your eyeballs than go back and preach there. The flat kind, you know, not the ones that stick out because you couldn't blink if you did put those in. But not here. And the reason is, first of all, you're exciting to preach to. Second, I believe that you have laid on your shoulders and on your heart, responsibility for the city of Birmingham and for the state of Alabama. I believe you have the responsibility. You have the anointing. You have the talent. Those are not in question. And God will increase those. But you have the responsibility. That's why I like to come here. The rubber meets the road in this church. Hallelujah. And for all of these things to happen, it's one thing for me to say that. And it's another thing for you to catch it. And it's one thing for you to catch it and say, yeah. Woo, amen. Yeah, we believe that. And run the aisles. And it's another thing for you to get it and understand it. Young people, I want you to understand something. Young men, look at me. I want you to understand something tonight. Revival is your responsibility. Young ladies, revival is your responsibility. That's why you can't dress any old way that you want to dress. That's why you can't talk any old way you want to talk. That's why you can't go to any old place. You've got a responsibility. You got to have a revelation of who you are. And we're getting there. So tonight, let me preach to you for just a minute from Revelation. It's not going to sound like Revelation for a minute. It's going to sound like stuff you've heard all along. But then I'm going to hit you with it toward the end of this thing, okay? So just put your gloves down. I'm going to get you. Tonight, I am glad to be a one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, Jesus' name baptizing, holy living, gift operating, devil hating, gospel preaching, soul saving, Bible believing, child of God. Woo! That just pumps me up. I'm not interested in compromise in my holiness, in my worship, in my doctrine, or in my faith. I will not give in to the devil or to doubt. I believe every promise that has ever come across this pulpit. I believe every prophecy that has ever been given to me. I have been blood bought. I have been anointing touched. I have the power of God inside of me. I will not settle for second place. We have been given an open door to reach everything that God wants us to reach. Hallelujah. We have been given an open door to reach everything. Not 99%, not 50%, 100% of what God wants us to reach. We have been given an open door to reach it. I believe we have an anointing and a mandate from heaven to become great. Let me say that again. I believe we have an anointing and a mandate from heaven to become great. That sounds a little cocky. So what? I'm going to do it, and if you don't want to do it, don't. I love you, though. But God is looking for people. God is looking for young men. God is looking for young ladies. God is looking for mamas. And God is looking for daddies to say, I know who I am in the power of the Holy Ghost. God didn't give me the Holy Ghost for me to be falsely humble. Oh, I couldn't get up and do that. I don't want to do that. I'm just, that's false humility. False humility is pride. But the fact of the matter is, when you were baptized in Jesus' name, you were baptized into responsibility, and you can't take the name of the Lord in vain. And where Jesus Christ walked, where you walk now, because you are the manifestation of God in the earth, you are the body of Christ. That's scripture. Now you have the responsibility, yea, even the ultimate responsibility to reach this world and reach this city. And God wants you to become great. Why shouldn't people from this church give counsel to the mayor of this city? I should have got at least two or three more amens than Brother Carr's there. Why shouldn't people from this church be at the head positions of the city, at the head positions of the universities in the city? Well, because we're just Pentecostals. No, 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 no. You don't understand. I'm not just a Pentecostal. I'm a child of God. You be a Pentecostal. I'll be a child of God. Let's clap our hands. Let's love the Lord. Just a few more minutes. And we'll go eat a hamburger. We need a revelation of who we are. You can be seated. Revelation is the art of the Spirit. People who possess revelation are very noticeable individuals. They are people who have undergone marked and very observable change. They're a little weird. They're a little different. If you're a visitor here, yeah, we like our kids running the aisle. We just believe if they're running the aisles, they probably aren't going to run the streets. But that's not normal. That's revelation running. They're not running because they got a bucket full of energy. They're running because their mom and daddy's got a revelation. Hallelujah. I said they're running and praising God because mom and daddy's got a revelation. People with a revelation are no longer governed by whim, and they are no longer governed by chance. You look at the world today, everything is governed by appetite. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Everything is governed by appetite. Whatever my appetite says, that's what I'm going to go do. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. People are pursuing those three. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But people who have a revelation are no longer governed by appetite. And they are no longer governed by chance. And they are no longer governed by whim. And there are people that sit in this church tonight that they couldn't wait to get their paycheck so that they could go pick up another six pack or another case. Or they couldn't wait to get some money so that they could run down and pick up whatever it was they were going to pick up to snort, smoke, drink. Whatever they were going to do with it that night. But the fact of the matter is, when they got the gift of the Holy Ghost, God gave them revelation of who they were. God gave them revelation of what they were supposed to be. And now they're no longer governed by whim. Now they're no longer governed by chance. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord.
Can I take this off?
I feel the Holy Ghost so strong in this place tonight. I hope He gets on every single one of you and lays you out slap drunk in this altar until you get up with a revelation and understanding of what you're supposed to walk in on Monday morning and what you're supposed to walk in on Wednesday morning and what you're supposed to walk in on Saturday. I don't build houses for a living. Yes, you do. I watched you go to work the other day with a hammer and a claw and a skill saw. No, I don't build houses. Or I might build houses, but I don't work for such and such construction company. Yes, you do. I see your little deal on your shirt there. It says, I work for such and such construction company. No, no, no. I work for God. That's just where I make money. Everything you do is for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 When I go to school, I'm not getting this education so I can just be smart. You should. Because the quota was filled up for ignorant people a long time ago. Everybody else has to know something. But I go to school representing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right, let me get back up here. Check with my notes here. People with a revelation now move toward a particular calling. They have received the touch of God's destiny. I just saw him a couple weeks ago. And I went to a couple Bible school classes with him. And he was one of those, he always made people nervous when he got up to preach. Not nervous like, oh, I wonder if he's going to call. Not that kind of nervous. Not that he's going to call you out or anything. Just nervous like, oh no, what's he going to say? And I saw him a couple weeks ago. And we were all getting up and testifying. And he still makes people nervous. I was nervous. And I remember kind of growing with him there for a little bit and going to Bible college. And he said, he always used to say, God's going to use me. And it was one of those, I'll be honest, I thought, yeah, right. Maybe to do this or this. But he used to say, no. God's going to use me to preach. I just talked to him after we got done speaking. Right now, he pastors a church in Meeker, Colorado. And he got there and he said, it was the driest, dullest, deadest place I had ever been. And they let me pastor. And the people that are around him now called Brother Wilson and said, my goodness, we've never seen revival like this in this part of the state ever. And he's already had 15 and 20 people get the Holy Ghost, and he's only been pastoring there for 6 months. Because the fact of the matter is, when you get a revelation of who you are and you're just a little bit dogged about it, and I'm not going to let go of this, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how persuasive you are. It just matters that you've got the power of God on you. People with a revelation of who they are no longer timid. They are no longer reserved. But they are bold, and they are assured of their authority and power. Chris Sindel, just a young person, very proud of him. We're doing outreach, and his job on outreach was to stand on a street corner and preach. Right there at a caution light. And every time people would pull up and the light would turn red and they'd get stuck there, he had a little PA system and he'd just preaching away. And he was preaching Acts 2:38 and he was preaching living holy and being separated from sin and he was preaching revival. And all of a sudden, this guy sitting at the red light rolls his window down and Chris said, hey, sir, I'm preaching to you. And the guy said, I know. The fact of the matter is, when people live in the revelation of who they are in Christ Jesus, they're no longer timid. 2 years ago, you couldn't got Chris Sindel to knock on a door. But now he's standing on a street corner preaching away, and a guy starts crying, I know you're preaching to me. I can't wait till the light turns green so I can get out of here. I can't wait till that happens to some of you. I can't wait till that happens to some of the people in my church. I'll never forget working at a grocery store. And my cousin worked up at the cash register. You don't mind if I just tell a few stories? I love to tell stories. And she was up there singing. I don't know, the old songs, you know, wherever I am, I'll praise him. She's deep, 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 wherever I can, I'll pray. And taking people's mind. And this lady comes through and hears her singing. And says, where do you go to church? And she says, she, you know, real chirpy Pentecostal teenage girl. I go to the EV9 Pentecostal church. And she's got that little, you know, that little bun on top of her head that they can shake around. Wadded up there, you know. And she said, listen, I've got this problem with my eyes. Would you mind if your church pray for me? And my cousin goes, well, I can pray for you right now. You know, just, I can do it right now. And so they prayed right there in the checkout line. And the following Sunday, the lady came to church and got the gift of the Holy Ghost. And God touched her eyes. I love it. I love it. That's what you call revelation of who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we need to love the Lord. I think you need to ask God to touch you with it right now. Hallelujah. God, touch us with it. In the name of Jesus. Revelation is discontent with circumstances that do not measure up to the new understanding that God has given. When we get a revelation of who we are, and we're getting there in just a minute. When we get a revelation of who we are, it is almost sinful to feel inadequate anymore. It is almost sinful to feel intimidated anymore. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? When you get a revelation of who you are, it's almost an insult to God for you to act any less than powerful. When you get a revelation of who you are, for you to walk around in any kind of condemnation is pretty close to sinful. Pretty close. Because the fact of the matter, come help me, Stephen. I started to get Brother Carr, but he's too big. Stand right here. Stand right there. No, down. No. I'm going to use these. Where you work? He's self-employed. The standard idea for a self-employed person is, or for anybody that's working up the corporate ladder, is, well, I'm going to make this amount of money, and then next week I'm going to make this amount of money, or this is my goal, this is my goal, this is my goal. And you have to deal with inadequacies every single day. Every single day. And I get up and I look at myself in the mirror and I think, dude, you're fat. Not you, obviously me. Look at you. You have to take a shower with skis on, I'm sure, so you don't go down the drain. That's a compliment. It's like my brother has to take his showers in a gun barrel so he can get wet, you know. But I say, dude, you're ugly and you're fat. What can you do? And then I have to face all these internal things. I'm not going to tell you about those. And he has to face them. And you have to face them. And then you have to face all the spiritual things. And last night, when you went such and such place, not even a bad place, the devil tried to attack you. And you got mad at so-and-so because they cut you off in traffic. And you, oh, that bugs the daylight. Dude! And all of these things weigh you down a little bit. Okay? But revelation doesn't accommodate anything that doesn't come to the higher level. This is the average level for man. I have to deal with being fat and ugly. I have to deal with all these internal things about being so and so and such and such. And I have to deal with all these spiritual things. And every one of those says, you need to just sit down. You need to stay right here. But revelation says, nope. You're not this. You're a child of God. It might even be your nature. Come back down. It might even be your nature to say, oh, no, I could never do that. But Revelation says, no. You've been blood bought, and I've put my power and my authority in you. I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight, because God, all I need is one or two of you in this church and we can blow this whole city up. All we need is about one or two young people. You're great young people. I'm not picking on you. You're great young people. You worship God. But all we need is one or two of you to get a revelation of really who you are. Really who you are in Jesus Christ. This is another message, and I may come and preach it. So if I come and preach it, just nod when I get here and act like you've never heard it before, okay? I'm going to give you a little bit of it right now. The revelation is, I am no longer a servant. I am a son. All right, sit down. Give me 7 minutes and I'll be done. Or I'll say, let's all stand in 7 minutes. When you read the book of Matthew, Matthew records what are called the parables of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to me for just a second. The most common theme in the parables of Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a woman that loses a coin in a house. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that finds a treasure in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that finds the pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower that went forth to sow, and some fell on good ground, some on stony, and some on where there was no earth, and they got part. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay. Another prevailing theme in the parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who had two sons. And he said to the servants, I want you to notice this. There's two people. The kingdom of heaven is like this. There's two kinds of people. There's three. There's God. And then there's two kinds of people. There's servants and there's sons. I want you to notice the difference between servants and sons. A servant has to get permission. A son has authority in the house of the Father. A servant has to say, can I? A son says to the servant, go and do. A servant says, God, can I please have this? And a son says, this is my dad's ranch. That's mine anyways. Give it to me. A servant says, I need healing. A son says, I'm a child of God. I command this illness to leave my body right now. A son says, or a servant says,
y'all gonna have to get this quick. This running's gonna kill me.
A servant says, God, this problem in my marriage, could you please fix it? A son says, problem in my marriage? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. Woo! My God. Me and my wife were laying in bed. We were in Connecticut. If you ever get a chance to not go. Is anybody? Close. You ever get a chance to not go to Connecticut? Take that chance. And we were laying in bed. Oh boy, I've got 5 minutes. We were laying in bed. And my wife said she had a little spot on her leg right there. And it was growing. She's not here. She'd kill me. Nobody tell her I told you that. There's a little spot on her leg right there above her knee. And it was growing. And she was worried about it. And no big deal. No big deal. I put my hand right there. I didn't slap her. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am your child. And this is not supposed to happen to your children. outside of your will, and I command this to be gone. The next morning, she was in the shower, and she came back out and said, look, and it was gone. And David comes riding up on the battle scene in his buggy. And scripture says he jumps out of the wagon, ready for the battle. He's excited to see it. Wow! He's got his Go Israel flag and pom-poms and his Go Israel hat. And he's ready to cheer these guys on. Whip the Philistines! Whip those Philistines. Da, 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 da. You know, he's ready to go. And he runs out. And he's got a bag of cheese and crackers from his dad that he's bringing to his brothers. And he comes out. And he's ready to go. And he looks around. And he sees his brother Eliab over behind a bush. Psst, David, get over here. What? What? What did I do? Get over here. Eliab, dad sent this to you. And he gives him the cheese and the crackers. And all of a sudden he hears from the hillside across the valley, send me a man. I love doing giant sounds. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Send me a man. And I'll cut your head off and feed you to the fowls of the air. And David said, I want you to notice this. Revelation hides behind rocks. David says, or excuse me, people without a revelation hide behind rocks. David says, I want you to notice this. He has a revelation of who he is, and he has a revelation of who that giant is. That's one of those things you have to remember about giants. 2 minutes. One of those things you have to remember about giants in Scripture. Number one, you never find one on the Lord's side, and you never find one that's neutral. They're always against the children of God. In other words, you never find one that's saying, go, Lord. You never find one of those with a pom-pom and a Go Israel flag. You just won't find it. And you never find one that says, I don't care. Never. They're always against the children of God. And he comes, send me a man. Ah. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David never even gives him the dignity of his name. I know who he is. Yeah, that's Goliath. No. That's an uncircumcised Philistine. He doesn't have a covenant, and I do. I'm talking about Revelation. And he talks himself into going and fighting this guy. And he comes before King Saul, and I'm hurrying. And King Saul says, here, I want you to notice this about Revelation. King Saul says, here, take this helmet. Take this coat of mail. Take this sword. Take these whatever. But Revelation doesn't wear a helmet. Revelation throws rocks. Did you get it? When Revelation rides down the street on its bike, it doesn't have a helmet on its head. Revelation is a little bit reckless. You get it? Revelation throws rocks. You know, one little stone went up in there. Whoop, Revelation throws rocks. And it only picks up about five. Because that's all I'm going to need. At most. Steve Wiley in our church. It's not a good housing market right now, in case you guys didn't know. And he's got this 40 or 60 acre ranch that he's wanting to sell so that he can, this is what he told me. He came up to me and he said, I want to sell this ranch so that I can be debt free. I buy a house, be debt free, and I can give more money to the church, and I can do more for outreach and so on and so forth, and I don't have to work all this overtime. And I said, is that really how you feel? He said, yeah. I said, okay, let's pray about that. In the name of Jesus, God, we need this house for, and he gave me a number. And it's a little bit better than $300,000. God, we need this house to sell, this ranch to sell for $300,000. In Jesus' name. Revelation throws rocks. And Revelation lets everything else have all the nukes, have the tanks, have all the latest equipment, the latest and greatest rifle with the latest and greatest scope. That's what Goliath said. And David acknowledged it. You come to me with a sword and a spear. That was the high-tech stuff for the day. And all his was oversized. It was like Windows XP in 1993. Okay? Everybody with me? I'm over my 7 minutes. I'm hurrying. And Revelation says, you can have all that stuff. I know who I am, and I know who you are. And Revelation throws a rock. Boom! And the big, bad, stinky breath, devil, giant. You got to understand, you don't throw rocks at guys like that. But that's what Revelation does. That's what Revelation does. You don't have to have a lot. All you got to do is sow one crop. And in 1 year, we've never had a big harvest like that. But I'm telling you, and I'll walk your road to tell you. Sow one crop. Throw one rock. Let's all stand. And then number two, let me get back to our text. Revelation. Thy kingdom come. Let his kingdom come. I didn't even preach about that. I blew that. I'm sorry. Revelation. Thou son of David. Bartimaeus is crying it out. I want you to notice this about Bartimaeus. Did I preach about the old bar boys? I didn't. Good. There's a group of men in Scripture that I call the old bar boys because their names go like this. Bartimaeus. Bartholomew. Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Okay. Barnabas. You know, Paul and Barnabas. The old bar boys. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. You can find them everywhere. Bar means son. Peter, before Jesus gave him revelation, who do men say that I the Son of Man am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto me. All of a sudden, he's got revelation. Woo! And Jesus said, you're not Bar anymore. I want you to notice this. Anytime you see the word Bar before their name, such as Bartimaeus, it means the son of Timaeus. That means he was never recognized. There's a whole message here, and I don't have time. It means he was never recognized as a man and as an authority figure in his father's house because he was blind. Bartimaeus. I don't know who I am. I don't have a name. I'm just known as my daddy's boy. But when Jesus comes by, I've heard a lot about that Jesus. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight, oh, let me tell you about Jesus. This Holy Ghost is absolutely free. He paid the price for it. Well, it's not free. You have to give. You have to give up the old nasty habits. You have to give up. He'll set you free. He'll take all your alcoholism. He'll take your drug addiction. He'll take the trouble that you've been in. All right, let me get back. And he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David. That's revelatory language. That's prophetic. Old Testament said he's going to be son of David. That's prophetic. Thou son of David, I know who you are. And Jesus said, send him to me. And he comes to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to open my eyes.
Revelation.
Open my eyes. I see it. And the first thing he does after his eyes are open is this. Is he takes that old beggar's garment. And he rips it off. And scripture says he left that garment laying right there. God is calling you tonight. God wants to give you revelation of who you are. I don't know how revelation comes other than I know it comes when you get lost in the Holy Ghost. This living for God isn't a technique. It's spiritual. And I got enough scripture to choke a mule, and I probably don't have to prove that to you. But just because you come to church, you could come to church and never live in revelation. But God wants to pull you up. And if I had Stephen up here again, everything would say, no, you stay down here. No, you can't be blessed like that. No, you can't operate in the power of the Holy Ghost like that. But revelation says, no. And revelation picks you up, because when you get revelation, it doesn't tolerate even your own mindset. And it sets you, and so your mindset, that old garment, some of you aren't doing bad, but you need that old garment to be torn away. And just leave it laying there. I've preached a lot longer than I wanted to preach tonight. But God is pulling for you. And he wants to touch you. And if you want to touch him, you need to come tonight. You need to come tonight. Those of you that know how to pray, when these people respond, I want you to come down. I want you to lay hands on their shoulders or whatever's appropriate here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. How he picked me up.
How he filled me with the Holy Ghost.
How he healed me
to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around.
How he placed my feet on solid ground. Let's all sing it. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you're worthy
for all the glory and all the honor. All the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and all the honor.
And all the praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor.
And we're going to pray one more time before we're dismissed. And I want you to think about some things in your life. And I want you to speak to him tonight. Not as a servant. I want you to speak to him as a son. As a child of God. I want you to think about some things. I want you to think about some people that need to get the Holy Ghost that you know that have never been to this church. I want you to think about some problems that you know about. If you don't have any, pray for me. I got some. I want you to think about some things that you want to see done that are just mind-blowing in your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray right now. Everybody, let's lift our hands. Let's ask him to touch us. In the name of Jesus.